Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. Trevor Brookin and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
So I'd like to welcome to More Than Just a Podcast interview David Powles, who's one of the directors of the new film Away From Home, which takes a look at the last season at the Bolin, the move away and then to the Olympic Stadium, and follows about four or five of the fans as they talk through the season, their feelings about the move. How did you come up with the idea of the film, Dave?
I always thought the move was going to be a big part of fans' lives, so I wanted to document that. So, supporting a football club is such a massive thing to people's identities, and sort of can make people who they are to an extent. And we sort of wanted to record a massive change, sort of in a football club, and what that'd do to people, you know.
Right, so what was the inspiration behind the making of the film? Because it must have took a while to come up with the idea. And
It really did. I mean, like, a lot of teams sort of are moving ground and or staying where they are, you know, and bolstering their support sort of by, you know, extending ground or doing what Spurs are doing. But visually, from like a filmmaking point of view, if you look at the move from the bowling ground to the Olympic Stadium, it's such a stark sort of visual contrast, isn't it? And sort of on film, that is always quite important because you do tell your stories to an extent through a visual sort of medium. But, I mean, it was just such a harsh move. Sort of, I kind of knew it would be dramatic, so that was kind of the sort of premise going forward and kind of the idea, you know?
Yeah. I mean, in that way, you sort of lucked out in how dramatic the move has become.
Yeah.
You know, when you started making it, I doubt if you did you have an inkling? What was your feeling on the move and how it would go?
I never wanted to move. So I was there. I saw it all going the wrong way straight away, to be honest with you. I was against it from the get-go, really. But do you know what, Nigel? I struggle with at the moment is just sort of the lack of protest, sort of that they're looking back. I just don't seem to remember it at the moment. And how about yourself? Can you remember anything? Like,
I'll be honest, Dave. Yeah. In 2010, I had a flag made that said "Say No to Olympic Stadium."
I've seen it. That flag will age well, Nigel, mate.
Yeah, and I collected 4,000 signatures outside the ground.
Wow.
Up until the new year that I then submitted to the club. But then when push comes to shove, the club stayed, you know, the club managed me really well because I was new to it. So,
yeah,
you know, In a way, they brought me in, spun me towels, which I never believed, but I joined the SAB thinking, right, this is where we're going to make the change, inside. Yeah. and I found out I was well outnumbered. And sort of died a death, realistically. I did my best, but my best was an ultimate failure.
Yeah, because I don't remember the. I just remember the club coming out of like. I don't know if you can correct me if I'm wrong, but kind of a really dubious kind of poll done by supporters that was sort of really in favour of the move, you know. And I just don't remember much. I just don't remember a lot of sort of at the time, sort of people sort of saying, no, we don't want this. But like you say, maybe there was. I just don't remember, you know.
I mean, the club did its consultation where they gave you four ways of saying, yes, I want to move, and one way of saying no. I was part of a campaign that did a vote outside the ground with the fans, but we had 88% that said no. But we only got, I mean, we did that vote over three games in 2011-2012, and only 3,500 people voted in it.
Wow.
So the apathy was there. So while we got 88% against the move, that was only like 3,000 fans against 35,000 walking into the ground. And I think the club relied on that, basically. Yeah. You know, plus the SAB, every vote in the SAB, you know, there was only two or three of us that would vote no. Even when we see the plans in advance, people were showing the plans of what we've got now, the stadium now. And I remember saying to one, you know, one of the directors come up to me and said, what do you think, Nigel? And I went, I can argue against that, and I will.
Yeah.
Nobody else did. So, in a way...
It was quite farcical, wasn't it? Where you sort of went into that, you know, the reservation centre at the Stratford. And, you know, you got commission reps, commission agents sort of selling you stuff. You know, they're on big sort of commission to sell your seat. Yeah, you know, they're going to tell you anything. I mean, sort of, I remember being told some ridiculous things. Do you know what I mean? But the problem is, I think people would just promise progress, wouldn't they? And look where we're at, mate.
I mean, personally, that after the club's, even though it's not my interview, it's yours, the club's never really answered for the behaviour of the staff in the sales centre. Because that's what it was. It was worth reservation. It was a sales centre. That's where the selling was done.
I agree, because I sit in that block 103, right next to, it's right next to the Bobby Moore lower, sort of, in the West Stand, and I'm like lower tier, sort of at the start. I think people were just so confused about what they could actually do with quite a few people, you know, and then there's all that ruckus at the start, and it was just sort of now, it's just, I've got to sit now, you know, because, you know, it's hard, because if the person in front of you is sitting down, and you're standing up, and the fella behind you is sitting down, and it's like, what can you do? You know, you can't sort of ruin it for other people. Do you know what I mean? So I'm thinking about moving to Bobby Moore lower next season because I think it's probably the best place for me personally. But so it's just because I think it's the closest thing. The problem is it's ironic because you go over to West Ham now and it just doesn't feel like West Ham. But I think if I went to the Bobby Moore lower, it'd probably be the closest thing I could have to going over to the old place, you know?
Yeah.
It's sad. It's really sad. It's really sad. But as you can see from the film, like, you know, people, it's such a sad film. And I, honestly, mate, I didn't mean to make such a sad film, you know?
I mean, I promised myself, and I didn't cry the last game, you know, I'm not going to cry. It's just a football game. And watching your film, I told you, I had to stop it after about 40 minutes and just have 5 minutes away from it. Because it, when you get to that last game, knowing what we know now, you know, it just made it worse. Because at the last game, even though I was against the move, it was, well, let's see what we're getting.
Yeah.
And it was actually worse than I ever thought. And I used to paint a bad picture of the place. So,
yeah, completely.
You know, and I think that's what's where all this anger stems from now. A lot of people, you know, you can see feel hoodwinked. Did you ever talk to West Ham at all when you were getting it made?
That was a conscious decision by me and Mitch, the other filmmaker, to never get involved with them, just because I think with that comes censorship, you know. And I wanted to completely make it on our terms and sort of, you know, record people's stories on their terms, their opinions, you know, democratically release something and put it out there, you know. I don't want to sort of we had a film ready in January, and it was a lot better looking film than the film we actually released, because we had shots inside the ground, sort of, you know, a few really beautiful sort of things like inside the ground, sort of the interiors, but also a few of the characters like played the charity game there at the end of the season. But
yeah,
when we come to release it, we sort of showed it to a media lawyer just to be perfectly, because obviously we're charging sort of like $3.99 to rent it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you've got to be sort of so careful. You've got to sort of, if we're releasing it for free on YouTube, we could just sort of put that one out. But because we're charging, we showed it to a media lawyer, and he said, you're just going to have to take all the interiors of the ground out. So, and all badges and that. So we had to kind of like go through it all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just literally try and, I mean, it's still quite a good looking film. Do you know what I mean? But it just, there were some other bits in it that we thought really bolstered it visually. But unfortunately, mate, sometimes you've got to sort of work with what you have and, you know, and release it sort of in the way we have, you know. We're making it for 3 years. It's completely self-funded. Sort of, I filmed it with Mitch, and then me and Mitch produced it. We edited it together, and then we wrote the theme tune, we sung the theme tune, you know. Then we got rid of it. Do you know what I mean? But
yeah.
It's just completely us, like, it's just like two of us with two cameras and a sort of a Mac computer. And so, looking at it now, I'm really proud, to be totally honest with you, mate.
Yeah, no, you should be. I felt for the cameraman that had to film outside the ground at the last game.
Me.
You.
So yeah.
You didn't get inside.
Didn't get in. Well, it was two of us. So, what happened was, it was you know, that was like a carnival, that last, you know, just outside.
Yeah.
It was just a carnival atmosphere, the best thing I've ever seen in my life. But I don't think I've ever experienced anything like it, Nigel, mate. Unlikely, like. But we're trying to track down our characters that we had in the film, and it was just, our mobile phones weren't working and this and that. And it was just like, well, we got two vantage points to sort of, we got all the interviews, and we said, like, we've got to film this now. Do you know what I mean? So I sat outside sort of Bobby Moore Lower and sort of through a gap on the road parallel to Priory Road. And then Mitch managed to get on top of the high-rise block of flats where I think it was Telegraph were doing, like, photography up there. But he managed to break in up there with a bunch of kids, and sort of we ended up getting that kind of stuff. So, it was, you know, it was a sacrifice. I'm now looking back, I think I witnessed the before and after of the game. And I think that was, for me, like, that was enough. And I filmed in between, and what I didn't get to see, I sort of, you know, I sacrificed that to put in the film, and, you know, it's worth it, I think.
Yeah, yeah. No, for those in the ground, it's interesting to see what was happening outside.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Those that had stayed, and, you know, the unbelievable amount of people that stayed outside the whole game.
I'm amazed. I know they made Iron Men, but I'm just amazed there's not another film like ours, to be totally honest with you. Like, that hasn't been made by, like, sort of another sort of, I know they did, like, Guardian did a short film and that, and there's a few others. But I'm just amazed there isn't a film overarching the whole movie, you know?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I mean, Iron Man is an emotional film.
Yeah.
But you could see it's made from the club's point of view.
Yeah.
Which sets yours apart, actually. You know, yours one, as I said, I felt was better because it was purely from the fans' point of view.
Yeah.
Not doctored in any way. You can imagine Iron Man Club was sitting there going, no, you know.
Yeah.
We'll
yeah.
let you show Gary. You had Gary. Gary was an emotional person.
Yeah, man.
To the end.
You know Gary, don't you?
I do, yeah. I wrote
You used to write Throw Lass, didn't you?
Yeah. For 5-6 years, I wrote Throw Lass at the end. So, yeah, I mean, I've just was talking to a couple of the others on the podcast, and without giving too much away for not seeing it, when you look at the 5 or 6 people you followed at the end of it, Gary, for me, was the happiest one of the lot.
Yeah, yeah.
In
yeah.
himself.
Yeah, I think so. It's one of them things, like, I was thinking it the other day, like, I mean, I'd never stop going, like, do you know what I mean? But
yeah.
Sometimes you think, like, if I stopped going, you know, like, and all of a sudden I got my weekend back, and, like, you know, I had my memories of the old place, like, would I be a happier person now, you know?
No.
No. I end up walking around a shopping centre with like my, you know, you end up sort of taking up other things. I just don't think I would be. Do you know what I mean? But I think Gary filled his life with reggae music, and it sort of just seems to be doing a lot more for him these days.
Yeah,
you know?
I think he had that other love. I think if you've got that other love that can replace it. I mean, I didn't go to the Southampton game, first game I missed this season.
Wow.
And it was a conscious decision. It was me saying, right, I'm not going, I'm sick of this.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to go back for the rest of the season, but I'm now going back because just that one game, watching it at home, we won 3-0 and I couldn't enjoy it. It was like,
Yeah, man. I think I've still got that
problem. It's a problem.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy, isn't it? It's just I've never been to anything like it in my life, and I just can never see myself giving it up. But like, I think if you were so opposed to the move, like I think Gary was always very opposed to the move, but he did give the new place a chance, and he just said he just couldn't have it, you know, and he just, you know, hoping he's just sort of looking forward, not backwards,
yeah,
I suppose.
I was pleased he did go there. I think it was the first, because I see him outside before the game and said hello, because he was always adamant he weren't going to go. So I thought, right, that's a good sign. Because the last thing you want is the move to drive people away.
Yeah.
You know, especially people that have put as much in as he had over the years in selling the fans in and not missing any games.
Exactly.
It's sad in a way to think that he's not going back. But when you see him at the end, and he has replaced that with his reggae music, which he had already.
Yeah.
You know, it's what I say, it's what I walked away for. Well, there's someone that's happy.
Yeah. I've been getting a bit of negative. We had a negative Amazon review saying we're all negative fools in the film, and we're not talking about anything, we didn't approach anyone in the film that sort of couldn't get to West Ham before the move, but like I just never really met anyone that could never get to games that live near the ground. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't remember like sort of people sort of bustling at the gate, you know, and we were in a championship. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, yeah, I'll argue with anyone that there was tickets to be had at the bowling.
Yeah.
You know, and perhaps the one thing I will tick the hat to is that they've managed to get 50,000 people or 48,000, whatever the real crowd is.
Turning up
every week. There's still, you know, a lot more when at times at the bowling. I mean, you could still buy a season ticket the season before the last season.
Yeah.
They didn't even sell out season tickets.
And do you know what? You know Kevin well, Kevin Mansell, he says he does say in a film, if you can get 10,000 more kids watching their local team, it is a good thing, you know. Sort of, I think I do completely agree with that, you know. But the film is called Away From Home, and sort of we focus on people that have gone for a long time and become accustomed to sort of going to West Ham, and it's sort of about that separation and going to a new place that isn't home yet, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the criticism changed. I mean, you did have one fan who was quite positive of the move beforehand.
Yes.
So, I mean, people can follow his journey and see. I mean, the fact that you covered individual people, you had the burger seller and the programme seller.
Yeah,
you go through the trials and tribulations that he had. You know, you know, he had the double whammy that not only did he lose the burger pitch from outside the ground, the programme didn't go down too well either.
No, not at all. And you know, sort of the first half of the film, I think there's a little bit of hope there at the start. You know, I think people are a bit more open to the move than, like, when I first started filming them, I thought, I don't reckon these lads are going to be open to the move. And quite a few people were when we were filming.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, like, the original cut night was 4 hours long, so we had loads of other fans that we filmed interviews with, but to be honest with you, it got to the point where we thought, we've got to condense this down, you know, and some people, you filmed them, and it was just hard to sort of keep in contact with them or get them for an interview. It's very hard, sort of, when there's only two of you, you know?
Yeah.
But we got who we got, you know, we got them at the start, we got them at the end, and we didn't sort of say to them, we just sort of asked them their opinion about what they're moving. A few of them were hopeful at the start, and sort of, you know, as you watch it, you kind of see most of them aren't that happy, you know?
Yeah.
Mate, listen, it's opinion, you know? It's always going to be a word that polarises opinion, and that's kind of what I want. I don't sort of want to make a film where I go, oh, that's a nice film. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather people have strong opinions towards it, you know?
I mean, what would you like viewers to take out from seeing the film?
I think we frame really well what we've lost, you know, and I think we would sort of take from that what we have lost and sort of how the club can act to regain something, you know, like regain what's been lost. I think the film frames quite well sort of the bowling and why it was important, and then sort of the second half sort of why people aren't happy at the new place, you know, and I think there's sort of things to be taken from that that the club could use to address, you know, the sort of dire situation that it is over there at the moment, you know, like, you know, you walk through sort of that massive expanse, none of the old sellers are there, don't smell, sort of people are there, you know, you've got this sort of, it doesn't smell the same, does it?
No.
Gary ain't there, but then, you know, there's just a lack of familiarity almost, you know, so I think maybe looking at both of the the bowling and then what's missing at the new place, I think maybe, hopefully people can sort of, well, maybe the powers that be, if they see it, can sort of take something from it where they can look at it and think, right, well, what are these lads saying, you know what I mean, and what can we do to address the problems there?
I mean,
if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
sense?
You know, I'd like to think that the club do sit down and watch it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd like, you know, if I could, if you could turn around to me and go, Mr. Flipper will get his, if you could look at it and go, well, what could you get out of this? You know, right, well, Mr. Flipper can get his burger van outside the ground and sort of become part of it again, you know, the film would be a success for me.
And do you think it's worth doing a follow-up in a year's time or 2 years' time once people have bedded in?
I think so. I think I'm going to... we'll go back to some of the characters that we've been in, that have been in this film, and probably add a few more. I think a few more things have kind of happened, hasn't it? There's sort of various kind of groups, isn't there, now trying to, you know, demand accountability and transparency from the board, which I fully respect. And I think sort of, I don't really know too much what's going on there at the moment with regards to who the club are dealing with, to be totally honest with you. So, I mean, I think it's something I've got to sit down and have a look at who I could actually speak to. But there'll definitely be, I definitely think there'll be a follow-up. I mean, I'm not going to start. I was talking to Mitch, the other filmmaker, and sort of there's the idea to do sort of look over at sort of Spurs ground and do something not too dissimilar, but I don't really think that's too interesting really at the moment. Do you know what I mean? I think I'd rather focus on West Ham, to be honest, because it's such a big part of my life.
That's what made our move more gut-wrenching, the fact that the others are staying virtually where they are, or have stayed where they are. We've gone the 3.5 miles out of the heart of Lewin to the edge of Lewin. That's what made it more interesting in a way.
Definitely. And it's such an alien atmosphere sort of going through the shopping centre, isn't it? And sort of, or even just sort of being ferried round the shopping centre and walking just along a big expanse of park to just go straight in the ground and then come straight out and, you know, go, you know. It's just so alien, you know. It's so different, isn't it? I mean, and a lot of the thing, I think a lot of people get really upset because they were so accustomed to places they went to before.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You know, like the Vic Tavern and East Ham Working Man's Club and that. And I just think, you know, when you see them, I mean, I can only speak for sort of the East Ham Working Man's Club, like, because we filmed them and that. Like, to see them struggling so much, you know, to the detriment of the, you know, because the club moved. It's such a shame, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to one of the events there.
Yeah.
And they're quite well and they're quite busy.
Yeah.
So at least they're clinging on to that clientele, but obviously it's probably 2/3 of what they got. They're probably down 1/3, maybe more. And they're not getting anything after the game, are they?
Nah, not so.
In a way, it's probably halved.
Yeah, because we did a film, like basically when we went there and we saw they were putting on a coach thing.
Yeah.
So we did like a promo, a video for them. So I thought, right, I'll get a promo video, get it online. And it got got about 44K views and like about 400 shares, you know. And you thought, just maybe, do you know what I mean? And like, you know, maybe it'll do something. If people can go there, have a drink, then come back and have a drink, you know. But I just think it was such a, it was such a big structure to fill. I just don't think you'd ever recoup the loss, you know, no matter what you did.
I was a supporters club member, so I tried it with the supporters club.
Yeah.
Going there, and once I got the bus at 2:00, and I still made kickoff.
Yeah.
And then, getting the train, I think what kills it is not so much the walk up to Upton Park Station, is that when you get the Stratfords, you think it's only a 10-minute train ride down to West Ham, change at West Ham into Stratford, 10-15 minutes tops.
Yeah,
it's the 25-minute walk then to the ground on top of that.
Such a walk.
But,
what? Yeah, no, it's true. Go on, sorry, Nige.
But that's why, in a way, I think a lot of people perhaps had good intentions of still keeping to that area.
Yeah.
I mean, in the end, I gave up the sports club, to be honest, and started going in the Black Lion purely because it was a 10-minute bus ride up to the High Street. And then it was then you still had the 20-minute walk up to the ground.
Yeah, that line's on the Broadway, isn't it? So that's the Broadway,
yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
I started at the rail. Is it the Railway Tavern?
Yes.
Like the other end is kind of it's sort of
Angle Lane.
That's the one. But that's a 25-minute walk and sort of if you had a few beers in here, it's just like you can cough. So I stopped going there just because I'm a bit deflated with it all, really, because it's just sort of, you think, where do I go, you know? Like, I don't even go to Hackney Wick, because I went over Hackney Wick the other day, and I had some beer, and it tasted like bloody potpourri, you know?
Yeah, the problem with the Hackney Wick side for me, it's very trendy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in the supporters club. They rent a space. That's an art gallery.
Is it really?
It's great. It's next to the ground. You get your beer, but at the end of the day, you're sitting in an art gallery.
You
can't get so more detached from football. And West Ham was a working class club.
Yeah.
So more detached from that working class manner. And I think that's the problem as well. Is you're a Newham boy. I'm a Newham boy. What we've moved to is actually detached from what we grew up in. That's new Newham. That's like new Labour, new Newham. Let's try and rebrand Newham and make it shiny and attract. And unfortunately, the working class get left behind.
They do, mate. Like you say, I don't mean, is it more kind of sort of, you just sort of see all these places springing up and these art gallery bars and these sort of craft beer merchants that have emerged. And then you've got sort of the working man's club shutting down. Not shutting down, but kind of having to shut down, sell to developers, and then have a sort of single-story club to kind of, like, you know, make themselves smaller. It's just such a shame, you know. The central's gone, you know. It's just such a shame, you know. Like, Stratford was kind of already booming, do you know what I mean, before we moved there.
Yes, that is,
you know,
true.
And it's just kind of like, look at the detriment it's done to sort of the area, you know, the area of sort of Upton Park. It's just such a shame, you know. But then, do you know what? Like, you know, a lot of people in the film were talking about doing a sort of pop-up Green Street. And I was like, yeah, no, I'd have that. Like, there's plenty of room there to sort of do a Nathan's Pie and Mash sort of tent, weren't there? And, you know, invite some of the older pubs over there and sort of sell them, you know, to try and make some money, you know, to sort of set up a tent. And, you know, it's feasible. But, you know, no one was really consulted, you know. And just now you've got kind of Dunkin' Donuts and things like that. And that's still very alien to me, seeing like a Dunkin' Donuts and a West Cornwall pasty. It's so branded, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, not the thing. I mean, the only time I've been on the apron,
yeah,
was when they put the pie mash in, and I thought, I'll give it a go.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the £6.50 cost, I sort of swallowed, but
yeah,
it's a wooden spoon.
Yeah.
You know, and when I said that, some people thought I was barking. And I was like, well, no, you can taste the wood. I can't taste the pie mash.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, no, I'm not doing it, mate. I won't eat you.
You got to keep posh people away from pie and mash, you know what I mean?
You got to.
But, I mean, you know, so at least the rib man's over there, that's a positive, you know? It's just, I think we need a few more over there, do you know what I mean? It's just, once you start getting a few more over there, I think it will feel a little bit more like home, do you know what I mean? I think
the problem is that, and this is part of the move where people would, even me, would never thought about, was that West Ham are not controlling the food.
Well, that's it. There's so many people that... Who controls what over there these days? I don't know what happens, you know?
On the apron, that's controlled by LS185, the stadium.
That stadium,
once you've crossed the bridge, that's all controlled by LLDC.
Right.
Who are in cahoots with Westfield. And I think the problem is Westfield are protecting their restaurants. So I don't know. I got told that Westfield could block certain things being put on the land outside, like the food stalls and everything on the World Cup.
Yeah.
Because it could be counterproductive. Shoppers may want to walk in and buy that food rather than eating the restaurants.
Mm.
I think it's a bit of self-protectionism.
We always
thought Westfield would be a partner, where actually Westfield don't really want us.
Yeah. It's a shame because I think the club should have really, I guess they probably knew that before we moved, so that's probably why they gave no one any assurances, really.
Yeah.
It's a shame, though. It's just, you know, it's such a shame. I think some people just, you know, relied on a lot of them traders over the years, you know?
Yeah.
But that's kind of the problem with making changes to West Ham. There's so many different parties involved in controlling this and controlling that. Nothing's really centralised, is it? So it's sort of very hard. So you could say one thing to the club, and you know, if you had a sort of meeting with them, and then they can just sort of say, "Oh no, we don't control that." It's very hard. It's sort of easier for them to be sort of less accountable now because they can kind of hide behind other people involved at the stadium, which is a cop out, really. Do you know what I mean?
It's such
a shame. It's just these are the problems, though. Like, you know, Mr. Flippers. Go to try and get on there from the get-go, and it's just like closed door after closed door. But like you say, they're probably protecting sort of his vested interests on that park, obviously, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the club, for me, this is where the club failed. I think they strung people along, even the sweet man, you know, he was filmed talking to David Gold, and David Gold was like, we will do our best. And I think they already knew that they couldn't have those people there.
Yeah.
You know, and now the club are like, well, you know, we don't owe them a living. They rented private land, which is true. They rented the private land, people's houses, or even the church lad one's stall next to it. So it was nothing to do with West Ham. They washed their hands of it. And I think they failed to realise that was part and parcel of going to football.
It weren't just the stadium, was it?
It was
everything else around it. It's just complete sign of sensory experience going over West Ham. It's the smell, you know, it's the sort of sight of just when you walk out and you're amongst the streets and all the traders, do you know what I mean? And this place just ain't got it at the moment, you know?
Yeah.
But we are, you know, I like to try and be hopeful and try and think something can happen, you know, but God, time will tell. I mean, I think the board have got sort of this summer to at least show, you know, because it's all words at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Words are easy, mate, do you know what I mean? But, you know, if you can start actually signing some decent players and actually start making some changes, but if they don't, you're just going to get more of the same that we saw at the Burnley game, I think, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I always used to warn about in Olas was the worst thing to happen to West Ham would be they remained West Ham, but just in another ground. You know, they had to actually deliver.
Yeah.
It'd be no good moving us there and shrugging their shoulders like they used to go. Well, we did our best, but unfortunately, you know, our best weren't good enough. There's no excuse there because people will go, well, actually, you've lied to us, we're off.
Yeah, yeah. So much of West Ham was that home ground for me. You know?
Yeah.
So much of the identity was based there, you know. Like, it's just so ironic when you go somewhere that says West Ham, but it's not West Ham at the moment, you know. But,
yeah.
There's that argument. There is that argument, Nigel, where you can say, well, they performed on the pitch, you know. A lot of these things would kind of recede into the background. But then I don't think you sort of, fans that have sort of always supported West Ham would completely accept that, you know. I think that people would be sort of, even if we were doing well in the league, you know, I still think people would have problems with the ground and the actual experience on a match day.
I think it all comes as a package though, on and off the pitch. The move was sold on and off the pitch, and unfortunately, so far they've failed in both.
So,
I've always said, though, I think until 5 years, that you is probably when you look and go, do you know what? This has been the biggest disaster in the world. I think they've still got time on their side to get it right. But every season that passes, that time runs out.
Yeah. Your older school, I think, just stop going, don't they?
Yes. Yeah,
and I think ultimately, if you don't, for the day trippers, who wants to go? If you're just a day tripper going for the day and you got your tickets from wherever, like, I'm a bit of a masochist. I still enjoy it when we lose 3-0. Do you know what I mean? So like, but the day trippers don't, you know, because I think they go and expect to sort of see, you know, the nature of modern football is a results based business now, isn't it? I think we shielded ourselves with the bowling ground and what surrounded it for a long time from modern football. Obviously, things crept in. Like, you can't not, you know, you can't stop that. But, you know, now I think we're just completely at sort of, at the moment, it's a flood of sort of the modern games just sort of flooded us, really, you know, from the stadium move and sort of the sky money.
Is it not the West Ham way to get it wrong?
Oh, always, yeah. It was always going to fuck up, wasn't it? It was never going to...
A bit of me does take heart fact that how bad it's gone in that actually the West Ham's still there that I knew and loved.
Yeah, yeah.
In the fact is they even managed to fuck that up.
Yeah. I mean, really, like, you know, the deal they had was financially is incredible when you think, oh, great, we'll invest in the team. Like, you see it on paper, there'll be so much money flying about in the club now. We'll invest that on the, you know, in the squad. And then you look and you're like, oh, Jesus. Patrice Evra, I think, then the January transfer window, I think that's a lot of the problem. I think that's why I've got so many problems now. I think it's sort of seeing, I mean, I wasn't a massive fan of IU, but I still rather him in the squad than not having, you know. But,
well, yeah, I mean, they've strengthened, you see the damage he did against us, they've strengthened what was a relegation rival at the time. And replacing him with a championship player, you know, just was never part of the process, was it? Those days were supposed to be over.
You know,
I don't want to speak ill or hug ill. I don't think we've seen really if he's good enough or not. He hasn't had a chance.
No, he was buzzing. You know, you saw him on the sort of video. He should actually be buzzing when he signed for us. Fair play to you, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Well, he's got a dream move, hasn't he?
Of course he has, yeah.
You know, he's probably doubled his wages. It don't matter if he plays or not. He's just living the Premier League dream. He was at Preston, you know. He probably never thought he was ever going to get there. So So we've got some good luck to the lad. I really hope he does well. So
yeah. Never know, do you?
All right, we'll move it on quickly to a few generic questions. So how long have you supported the club, Dave?
Well, I come to West Ham quite late. I'm 30 now, right? Yeah. So I come to West Ham quite late in life. So I've come to, my first ever game was the Millwall game, 2009.
Wow.
So.
Well, you picked a good one.
I did pick a good one. But it was very strange because I was never took to football. But like my dad's from up north, so we moved down to Chapel East.
Yeah.
And sort of, West Ham was always a big part of my life just because everyone in Chapel East, kind of, apart from your Cockney Reds, supported West Ham. So I was always around kind of the training ground, you know, in Chapel East.
Yeah.
Sort of Razor Ruddocks and that lot, over hobbling about the car parks and that. But, and that's the thing, it's sort of, when I sort of started making this film, I was like, oh, bloody hell, I ain't been around here long enough. I don't feel entitled. But, like, you know, one of my mates around me, he said to me, it's the appeal of the club. He's like, how it can just sort of entrap people, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, from that day onwards, it was just like, it's just a complete and utter obsession. It's just ridiculous, you know?
I mean, was it a disappointment when you realised that not every game was like that Millwall game?
No. To be totally honest with you, Nigel, like, my favourite game ever, and this is our, and you'll probably like this. I was with my best mate who supported. He's dead now, bless him. But we're at Sunderland. It was when we got relegated under Grant. And I was at Bobby Morlow and my mate who supported Sunderland. So he was sitting with me, and there was a conga line going down in a sort of chicken run. And then we were all chanting "Kaisera, Sera," you know.
Yes, Coventry,
you know that.
Funny enough, I found photographs the other day of that conga.
Yeah, and
we lost, didn't we?
Three. I think it was 3-0.
3-0. Budwan Zenden, I think.
Zenden, always play, wasn't he?
Yeah, scored from .
So it was one of them things, and I just looked at my mate, and my mate's got his son. He's a lot older than me. He went, "This is just a proper football club. It's got it all, mate." You know, and I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "It's that self." You know, I'm quite a self-deprecating person, do you know what I mean? And it's that kind of self-deprecation with West Ham fans that I think draws me to the club, you know? You feel quite included in it.
Yeah.
And that's it then, really. That was, sort of season ticket was bought and sort of the rest is history, really.
I mean, you've got quite a short period, so who would you be your all-time favourite player? If he was going to pick one.
Oh, bloody hell. Let me think. Oh, I don't know. I do you know what? I haven't seen many good players, to be honest. I'm not going to say pay it, just because that's the obvious choice.
Yeah.
But, who should I think of? Yeah, not on his ability, but I always respect Carlton Cole's loyalty, to be honest with you.
Yes.
He's a fan favourite. He's never the best, but, you know. I had high hopes for Pablo Barrera when he first signed, and I was like, oh, he's going to be great. Nothing. You know, it's always the same. I really like Gary O'Neill when he played for us. I always like a player that wants the ball, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Always like him playing. But my other mates that are in the film, and I've seen the cameos. I mean, you know, that's the thing where sort of I haven't been going for a very long time. Sort of, I made sure to, when we were making it, obviously, like Kevin, he's been going since 1953. And,
yeah.
Tommy's been going since like the early 80s and sort of since he was two. And, you know, Gary ain't missed a game since 1980. So it's one of them things. The thing is, I mean, I didn't even want to be in the film. But then, to be totally honest with you, I've got to have the. If I'm going to make a film, to be honest with you, I've got to have the cojones to get in front of the camera. Do you know what I mean? I can't really hide behind the camera. So, you know, if my story's there, it's just people can say what they want. You know, it's just. I just. You've got to get in front of the camera. Do you know what I mean? I don't think I can hide behind other people. You know.
Yeah. I mean, it's in regards to your story. You know, your story is your story, and it don't matter when you get there, as long as you get there. To be fair, you did. So, for me, fair play.
I'm not a glory hunter.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not. I don't know. Off the back of that Millwall game, I might call you. right, last question. You might have answered it. So, if you could go back in time and revisit one game, what would it be?
Yes, I know. It would be the It was the Sunderland one where we've been relegated. And there was the conga line down in the Chicken Run, and Tesla, Ferrari, or wherever we will be, we're going to Coventry. That is crystallised West Ham for me as a club, you know.
Yeah.
Just the whole, you know, the not winning and the sort of turning up regardless, and it's just very romantic that, you know, in a results based kind of industry, you know.
I mean, in a way, the fact that you fell in love with West Ham during perhaps some of the worst periods, you know, I've been going since 77, and I would say probably since the Icelandics went bankrupt, which coincides with you going up, would be the worst period. We've lurched from, you know, the Tevez saga onwards. The club's just seen a downward spiral. That for you to then still come out and support the club, probably best in a way. I've always said I fell in love with the club on relegation. We were relegated my first season. Your second season had gone down. So it can define us at times, relegation.
Yeah,
unless we're prepared to accept it.
And that's probably my favourite season so far was the season of the Championship. But I think people romanticise the Championship a bit. You know, that's a bit more authentic, and it's, you're going to proper grounds, like, you know. And it's, but I just don't think we'd get away with it. You know, again, it's just like, that does consume. You can't keep going down into that league and it not consume you. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a great historian, and I always say we generally only get relegated once in a decade. So we've been relegated every decade from the 70s onwards once.
Yeah.
And we've had our relegation this decade. So
yeah.
I think we're good till at least 2020.
I think we'll stay up. I generally think 36 points will keep us up this season, which is like, it shows you there ain't much of a mid-table this season, is there? There's kind of everyone pushing, trying to get into Europe, and then there's kind of everyone else basically fighting for relegation. Do you know what I mean? It's a strange league, isn't it?
I mean, we're 13 points above the bottom club, and we're 13 points behind Burnley in seventh.
Yeah.
That about sums it up. All right, Dave, we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah,
I appreciate the time you spent with me. And
no worries.
I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast. Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.